Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as we have seen, Peter is first of all interested in what pastors do, that they carry out the work that Christ has assigned to them as their first responsibility, namely that they feed the sheep and lead the flock that God has entrusted to them. But he's not only concerned about what they do, but why they do it and the attitude that they have as they are doing it. So it is not only a matter of doing the right tasks, but it is also doing them for the right reasons and doing them with the right heart attitude. And that's why Peter deals with the attitudes of pastors in the last part of the section of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, after he has dealt with the work of the pastors in the first part of this section. I read it in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So how is the pastor supposed to serve his sheep? And serve is the key word here. Well, willingly, not by compulsion, but willingly, and eagerly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, and humbly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being examples to the flock. So we'll pick up where we left off on Friday. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, June 23. Thank you for remembering that we depend upon the financial gifts of our listeners in order to continue teaching on this station. All right, not by compulsion, but willingly. We've covered that. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And we are about done covering that. But just again to remind you that money is a very emotional subject. And people have all kinds of ideas about it, and many of them are not correct. And money causes all kinds of disagreements. It causes some of the major disagreements in marriages. And in larger family contexts, people get all bent out of shape about money in their family relationships. So it should be no surprise that money also can become, and often does become, a rather contentious issue in regard to the church. And, of course, the pastor's salary, the pastor's compensation is going to be part of that. And people will have all kinds of different opinions about it. I have found over the years that some people think that I'm paid too much and some think I'm paid too little. Yes, I've had people tell me both. I don't know if the people who tell me they think I'm not paid enough are trying to win brownie points or to flatter me. I'm not quite sure. And I'm not sure the people who are audacious enough to tell me that they think I'm being paid too much are being insulting, that they don't think I'm worth it. I don't know. But it can be a very contentious issue. But the point is that pastors have to be careful. They're not serving for pay, even though they must be paid if they're going to serve properly, if they're going to really carry out the responsibilities that are given to them, it is a full-time job, and they need to be supported by the church in order to be able to carry it out. And my hat's off to those pastors who, because of small churches and difficult circumstances, are not supported adequately by their church, so that they have to work a part-time job, be a tent maker, some even working full-time jobs, and trying to pastor a church working a full-time job. Technically, it can be done, but I'm convinced it can't be done properly. It can't be done in the way that God requires the work of the pastor to be done. You are not going to be able to feed and lead the flock in the way that God requires unless you are freed up from the responsibility of working a public job in order to do it. And mature Christians understand that. Immature Christians and unbelievers have a hard time understanding that, but mature Christians understand that. They do understand the demands that God places upon the ministry, and they understand the value of having a man of God who is truly working hard at feeding the flock of God and leading them in biblical ways. But be careful about the money. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, an important word in that phrase is dishonest. It doesn't say not for gain, that is, not for salary, not for financial support, not for compensation. It says not for dishonest gain. Don't overlook that word, because that's the key to understanding what Peter is saying here. Not for dishonest gain. Don't get your fingers in the till. Now, as a matter of practical advice, I would say a couple of things to you here. Number one, I would say if you are wise as a pastor, you're going to be sure that the church that you serve has some safeguards in place so that you are really not in the position to be getting your hands on the money. It's a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of testimony. Just have procedures in place that you don't handle money, and you're not in the position to be able to get your hands upon money. That should be handled by other people. And frankly, nobody should be handling money alone. And in those cases where maybe some small amounts of money do need to be handled by, say, the secretary, you know, most churches are going to have a petty cash box, and even pastors and anybody around the office will no doubt have access to it. But there better be good accountability procedures in place. In our church, nobody takes anything out of the petty cash box without leaving a receipt to cover what was removed or a note explaining what it's for and that a receipt will be forthcoming. If you need to take money in order to go to the store and buy something for the church, then leave a note. The way I do it, the way most of us do it, I don't know if everybody in the office does it this way or not, but the way I do it is say, I owe petty cash $20. And that note is going to stay in the box until I have either returned the $20 that I borrowed or until I return a receipt for the expenditures. And I went to the store and bought a, who knows what, maybe a logbook for the radio broadcast. And I spent $12.87 with tax, and I bring the book back, and I bring the receipt back, and I return the change to petty cash, and everything's square. And I surely don't need to explain these things, but that's the way it needs to be done. And when it comes to counting offerings and transporting money and handling money, it should always be done in pairs. Nobody should be doing that by themselves, and certainly the pastor shouldn't have access to that, in my opinion. It's just a matter of wisdom. Is it biblically wrong for the pastor to have access to that? Well, I'm not sure that it is, but from a standpoint of wisdom, it just makes a whole lot more sense. You don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted. So that's one matter. A practical advice to pastors, just be sure that there are good safeguards in place so that you are not handling church money, and that those who do have strong safeguards in place, and not one person by themselves, and so forth and so on. How foolish are churches when they don't have those kind of procedures? I read not too many months ago, you probably did too, how the largest church in America had somebody break into their office, I'm not sure what they broke into, and stole the offering at something over $600,000, stole the Sunday offering. And I'm thinking, when I'm reading this article, what was that kind of money doing lying around in the church, unguarded? Goodness sakes. We don't have a church, a tent that size, but we don't do that. Our offerings are counted by two or three men and taken immediately to the bank and put in the safe deposit box. Right then, on Sunday, it's gone. Nothing there to steal. Nothing there to rob. If somebody breaks in looking for the Sunday offering, too late. It's already been deposited. Now again, you don't find those instructions in the New Testament. They didn't do things that way. But shouldn't we use business procedures? I mean, this is the way a good business would operate. A good business is not going to leave cash on the premises overnight after business hours. The ones that do are foolish, but a well-run business isn't going to do that. Well, a church should be run at least as well as a business, and so these kind of safeguards should be in place. So number one, pastor, elder, just lead your church, if they don't already have such procedures, lead them to adopt these kinds of business procedures to minimize the risk, either of your taking money that you shouldn't take, or of money disappearing and you being suspected of it. You may not have done it, but if these procedures are not in place and you are in a position where you could have done it because there aren't these kinds of safeguards, then it's going to arouse suspicion, and that's not good. So just have the procedures in place so it's evident you couldn't have done it. You should have these things. We have, our church is 41 years old, and I don't think we've ever had anything stolen or any financial impropriety or question about any missing funds in 41 years. And it's just a simple matter of carrying out good, sound business procedures. Put them in place and carry them out and minimize the risk, and you can almost say minimize the possibility. I suppose there's always the possibility that somebody can figure out something, but you can sure minimize the possibility. So that's number one. Number two, preacher. I'm talking to preachers now, so that you don't get in trouble financially with money. Don't get tempted to do something for dishonest gain. Live within your income. This is good advice for anybody, but especially for preachers. You say, I don't make enough. Then spend less. The problem is not that you don't make enough. The problem is that you've decided that you need more than you make. But evidently God hasn't decided that. You're just going to have to reduce your expenditures to meet your income. That may be unwelcome, but after all, this is an example to the flock. You have poorer members of the church who are going to have to do the same thing. Set the example. Show them how a person lives honorably within the income which God provides. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.